Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Chairman. My comments go to the question of scientific review processes. There has been considerable discussion since before the 7th review conference on how we could create a more effective review process for S&T issues in a BTWC context. Delegations have presented some 16 or so working papers, including one here at this session, and we had a side event on this topic on Wednesday. There is certainly a good deal of enthusiasm for science and technology topics, as we can see from the number of side events and other meetings being held or planned, and the level of engagement at this MX, as the last 2 days have made clear. It's also quite clear from all of this that we have a good deal of agreement on many aspects of this topic. We therefore think it would be useful to capture what these aspects are and use them as a basis for further discussion. There are, of course, some areas where differences exist, and these mostly cover the how, namely, how should a BTWC S&T process be structured and funded? Now, we see generally broad agreement on the following key features that ought to figure in an improved S&T review process. So I'm going to list these. We need a more effective review process given the rate and nature of change in science and technology. The current MX2 format has its uses, but we could certainly improve upon it. A new S&T process should have a horizon scanning function to look to see where developments and convergences between technologies might create benefits and risks for the convention. A review process should not and cannot be solely about risks and threats. It is also about identifying benefits for humanity and how these could enhance implementation of Articles 4, 6, 7, and 10 of the Convention. We would also need to be able to task any such process with specific questions when new developments appear to pose challenges for the Convention. Key questions in this context would likely be, have we got anything here to be concerned about, and on what sort of timescale? And if so, what do we need to do to mitigate or even prevent any adverse consequences? A new process could help advise states parties on the actual or potential implications of S&T developments for national implementation of the Convention. For example, whether they might need to consider amending existing legislation or whether new legislation or guidance could or would likely be required. Any such process would need to be able to tap into the very diverse range of scientific and technological disciplines relevant for the Convention, and not just in the more obvious areas such as the life sciences. Other disciplines such as artificial intelligence are also relevant, and increasingly so, as we have heard at this meeting and in a side event hosted by India earlier this week. This would need to cover human, animal, and plant sciences, and extend to government, academic, industry, and other research communities. It should also tap into the work of other international organizations. An S&T review process must be inclusive and geographically representative, as well as transparent, with reports published and accessible to all who need to see them. Any decisions on recommendations for action emerging from an improved S&T review process would be a matter for states parties to act upon nationally or in concert with others as required. Now, it seems to us that those are the areas of common ground on what an S&T review process should do. The differences between us centre on what the best ways and means of structuring an improved review process would be. And it seems to me that these could be summarised as follows. A number of options have been presented. It could be open-ended and open to all states parties wishing to participate, or it should consist of a smaller group or regionally selected experts, roughly 20 or so members. It should be funded from the regular BTWC budget or funded from voluntary contributions. Other organisational and structurally open questions include, should there be some sort of advisory body only? Should an advisory body provide advice to a future ISP MX2 process? How would such a body fit into a future intersessional work programme? And what would the rules of procedure be for any such advisory body? How would a smaller body access all the necessary sources of expertise required? And how would we use the output of any review process? Our task, therefore, is to build on the areas where there is broad support, such as those areas that I've outlined today, and prepare a broadly supported proposal for adoption at the Ninth Review Conference in 2 years' time. We must also work to narrow down the differences over the how part of this process, and we certainly think that ought to be doable. And the UK would invite any state party with an interest to join us in this process and hope that many of us here could readily support the common criteria that we've outlined this afternoon. Thank you, sir.